The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. You're listening live at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, or possibly you're listening online at www.kcnr1460.com. Really thankful that you joined me here this morning. And if you didn't already follow, if you don't already follow me on social media, I would encourage you to go to votekevincry.com or vote Kevin Cry on Facebook or votekevincry.com. There you can register for the email list, be updated when things are coming out. Every morning I do a live Facebook video at 7 a.m., so I'd encourage you to tune in there as well. And then I've been doing coffees again. Didn't do one this past Friday because I was at RCRC out of town, which is the Rural Counties Representatives of California. So I was out last week, but I'll be back to Kaleidoscope on Athens at 8 a.m. this Friday. Weather this week, it is going to hit a high of about 100 on Tuesday, and it's going to be in the low to mid-90s the rest of the week. Very, very, it's like a 10% chance of rain, I think, on a couple different days. So it's likely it's not going to rain this week. And we had a chance to get some cooling weather there for a while, but we're back into crazy hot temperatures for September. And again, that weather is always brought to you by Weather NorCal. Mike Kruger, not a paid sponsor. Again, I pay for this show entirely myself, so there are no paid sponsors. So if I plug a business or an organization or a group, I'm just doing that because I want to. It's been a couple weeks since I've been on the air. Obviously, Nick and I with Poke the Hornet's Nest we alternate every other Sunday. So sometimes 2 weeks feels like, you know, it's been like 10 minutes, and other times it feels like it's been like 6 months. And this has really, really felt like it's been a really long time since I've been on the air. Of course, unless you've been in a coma or you've been living off-grid with no internet, you know the conservative activist and speaker, pastor, I'm going to even say evangelist, Charlie Kirk, was assassinated on September 10th, and his memorial service is today at 2 p.m. Eastern, and you could find online various outlets on how to watch it, streaming or, of course, live. I would encourage you to do that. There's a lot of speakers, and I think it's going to be one of those events that people are going to talk about for quite some time. There'll be people dissecting it, of course, on what they feel the various speakers are going to say. But it's been very interesting and emotional watching the various people close to me and how they've been impacted by the tragic events. My oldest daughter, Kylie, actually attended a Turning Point event in Texas a few years ago, and she took his death really, really hard. She had door knocked for me and even gave a speech to the Shasta County Central Committee in my absence once. So politically, she's been the most involved of my three kids, but she said, you know, that this was her 9/11. And, you know, like all of us, we've all had, and some people I've even talked about the Kennedy assassination or the Challenger spaceship, space shuttle blowing up, because I can remember watching that. And it's, you know, and maybe part of how hard she took this was because, you know, her and her husband have a son now, and they value, you know, the value of human life has just taken on such a deeper meaning. But as far as reflection, there's been a lot of that personally in my life. I recently just turned 49 this month, and I might be one of the few people I know who really enjoys getting older. Now, I'm not crazy about my back or knees being stiff in the morning or my joints hurting if I eat too much sugar from inflammation, but I'm very cognizant and becoming more and more discerning around the minutia of my day-to-day and how everything can seemingly tie together in one way or another. And I think the Lord gives us all discernment, and it depends on how we listen to understand. I mean, I'm getting better at just listening to things around me. Not perfect by any means, but I'm getting better at it. And I try not to read into everything, but I just make mental notes throughout my day or even week. And so this is going to be a little bit, I'm going to get very personal on some of this stuff. So, I wanted to get all of this out today, and then I don't want to say move past it or put it behind me, but this has been definitely trying for my family and I. So going back to September 9th, the night before, or that night before Charlie was killed, my wife like slept absolutely terrible that Tuesday night before, and so did my younger daughter, Kara. You know, and she's a senior in high school, and both of them that morning of the 10th, while they're getting ready for school and work, and when we're all running around the kitchen trying to get things, you know, ready for the day, each of them were, you know, in passing talking about like nightmares they had or whatever they didn't sleep on. I don't even remember exactly what those nightmares were. It was just they both slept terrible. And it wasn't until a couple days later that we realized that it could have been maybe related. It could have been related to the evil that was about to be perpetuated on the world. And my daughter Kara, you know, who's a senior, she took the death hard, but it was really different. I think she realized, you know, with the restraining orders or the masked protesters at my gym for kids, this world is super evil, and it became, I think, very real to her that day. And we didn't talk a lot about it, and there was just a heaviness in the house that night. And I didn't push her to talk through it because I've realized with daughters, you often don't have to draw it out of them; they'll express their feelings in their time and when they're ready. But for that first night, Kara just asked me to lay down with her, and this is going to embarrass her. If and I know she won't hear it; she doesn't listen. But in case any of her teachers do and bring it up, but she asked me to you know, just lay down with her in bed until she fell asleep. So that's what I did, you know. And you know, fast forward less than just 2 weeks after the death. I mean, now she's I believe she's become even more purpose filled. She and some other students organized a Turning Point chapter at Foothill High School, and she's the vice president of that, and she's getting other students involved. And it's not about getting other students involved to align with maybe what she, at a very, very, very rudimentary, very basic ideology level. I think she just wants more people involved to have conversations like Charlie, you know, uses an example. And I mean, I'm excited about that because it's not about red or blue or left or right. It's about just getting people to the table and just having discussions and saying, hey, we can still get along. We don't have to agree, but we can at least have conversations. And I think that's super important. And also, she said that the Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting on her campus, I believe she said, you know, usually has, I don't know if she said it was in the teens or 20s or maybe even 30s, but she said that there were 78 kids that showed up at this last one. And she said that was like, you know, triple or whatever. She said it was so many more kids than they've ever had. And I think that's really, really, I mean, it's encouraging to me. It's encouraging to me that good or positive things are coming from that, even at the high school level. You know, and I don't care if you're in your if you're in high school or in your 70s. If you can take a tragedy and use it for a positive outcome, I think that is super healthy and probably the best way to cope. My son, who's in eighth grade, you know, he had a lot of questions, and that's not abnormal for my son, Cannon. You know, he asks a lot of questions, oftentimes that can't necessarily be answered, not at least not at that moment. And I take a lot of mental notes when he asks questions because I tend to bring the answers back up after time has passed because I mean, he's 13 and he doesn't necessarily ask questions that are like historical or that you could just Google and find out you know, a simple answer. They're often rooted in like philosophy or ideology, and I'm talking ideology about like conservative or liberal. I'm talking about ideology in just he wants to understand motives or reasoning or thought behind how that decision or how that outcome came about. And I think he got that definitely from my wife. I definitely am there now at 49, but I definitely wasn't there at 13. So, you know, what have I personally learned, or what am I learning from all of this? And I'll just tell you, it's more and more each day. I mean, anytime there's a death or circumstance that makes us reevaluate our life, you know, I believe it's important to remember, you know, Proverbs 27:1, which is, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day might bring." So I'm often reminded, like, wow, this, you know, the time on this earth is short. We all know that. Whether you believe there's something after this or not, I think we can all agree that in the grand scheme of of time, whether you live to be 50, 70, 100, that's not a lot of time when you consider the length of it. And so It's I'm reminded to say as much as I can now in case I don't get to say it later. And that's one of the things I take from it. I probably have called or texted my mom just to tell her I love her in the last couple of weeks more than maybe previous few months combined. Not that I don't tell my mom often I love her, but just a couple texts. So then of course I send a text. My mom's listening now. So mom, I love you. I know you probably got two or three different radios on in case one goes out or the power goes out and you can keep listening, but I don't want to miss those opportunities to share those things with the people I care about. And I think the greatest takeaway for me though is I've really felt this deeper sense of purpose. And I guess I would even say like unbridled resolve. You know, and what does that mean? I mean, I was sharing this with another supervisor at RCRC, and I just said, man, I feel like I'm really just going to double down on some of the things that, you know, I feel or that need to be said or that need to happen. And, of course she says, wait a minute, you've been holding back this whole time. And we kind of had a good laugh at that. I said, well, no, but I said, it's really, I think when I entered into politics, I always felt like I had something to prove, almost maybe like a chip on my shoulder. And, you know, and maybe that's because, you know, I wasn't taken serious as a political opponent to the person I ran against originally. And then, of course, the failed recall, you know, that started before I was even in office for 30 days. So, and every decision or item I'm involved with, it seems like there's always a group wanting to tear it down because I'm involved with it. And maybe because, you know, they tie me to Trump or they tie me to being a really, really, really outspoken conservative. But it's shaped over time how I feel like I have to stand up for people that don't have a voice. But Charlie's death definitely has changed some things, I believe, at the core of me, because I've been trying to do better with my words. And he was, I mean, at 31 years old, as much grief and as much abuse as he took, I really, really I'm in awe just in how he did it so grace-filled and so articulate and intentional, and always drew it back to like, hey, we've got to be able to sit down and just have a conversation and talk about this. And you know, and I've been trying. I've been less combative, or I believe I've been better at biting my tongue at the Board of Supervisors meetings. I mean, even some staff have noticed. But that, you know, that doesn't mean I'm perfect, and I still can't improve. But I believe I'm getting there. And as I reflect more and more, as we watch, you know, more videos, or watch more, or listen to more podcasts, or vlogs, etc., about his life, and you see clips. I'm constantly brought back to Colossians 3:23, which is whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And that keeps coming to mind because, you know, Charlie would get frustrated or irritated with people, but he'd lead with a sense of, you know, he knew who he was in Christ, and he knew what he had been given. And I'm not saying what he had been given in terms of like, yes, he has a wife and he has beautiful kids. He has a successful business employing a ton of people. And a person looking on the outside may see that and say, oh yeah, he knows he's got a great life. He's got it all. He's got it, you know, made, so to speak. He works hard, I'm sure, but he's got all the things materialistically you could want. But what I saw with Charlie Kirk at a deeper level was, I mean, he knew who he truly was, rooted in the fact that he had a Savior and that he was given salvation. And he knew who he was in Christ. For some of you that are personal Facebook friends of mine, you'll know that my daughter recently painted her parking spot at Foothill High School, and everybody, you know, decorates their parking spot with, you know, whatever they want. And she, you know, put a Bible verse on hers. And I thought, wow, it's amazing that my daughter, you know, as a senior in high school, I mean, she was Philippians 4:13, and she knows who she is in Christ. And for me, with Charlie Kirk talking about things that can be really difficult conversations, whether it's around, well, I mean, just everything. I mean, you pick it. There was a lot of topics he hit, but he did it again with grace, honesty, love, and knowing who he is, knowing where he was going. There was a sense of resolve there that I really felt, I really have felt emboldened by. And it's not that I've ever hid my faith, or it's not that I've ever hid how I feel, but I think as we boil all this down, You know what? And I'm getting a lot of text messages and phone calls. So I'll tell you what, if you want to call in to 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. And if you want to discuss how Charlie Kirk, how his death, has impacted you, and you want to share it for 30 seconds or a minute, would love to have some of you guys who are texting me or messaging me, like, go ahead and share that on air, because I think that would be positive for a lot of other people, because maybe something that you are feeling or have felt or are going through is going to resonate with somebody else. And I think that's the most important thing, why I do my coffees, why I do the radio show, is just to bring more and more people together around conversations. Because again, I think all of us really, really love Shasta County. Even if we don't agree on some things, maybe many things, we all can still look outside and see the sun is shining. It's, you know, not extremely hot today, and it's a great place to live. It's a great place to call home. And for me, bringing this back again about what I'm learning and kind of going through and unpacking myself is, you know, I love Shasta County, and the many people I've met, and I believe I have truly fought for things that they care about, things that they believe, things that they feel there really wasn't maybe a voice to, I can be that, or I am that for some of them. And, you know, for some of the projects that I've had a large hand in, you know, the charter, the at-home program regarding homelessness and those in need of rehabilitation, you know, auditing fees and returning money back to people who have been overcharged, the alternative custody program with the sheriff. And then, of course, one of the big things right now for me is solving or improving medical care access in the county. I mean, I'm super thankful. I've been given the honor, the privilege, and the opportunity to work on these things for the people of Shasta County and even the people of this region, because some of the things that are greatly impacting our neighboring counties, and it's not lost on them. They actually, when we go to these RCRC or CSAC events, many supervisors approach me, and they share what they're going through and how they're a smaller county, but they, of course, identify with Shasta because we're rural as well. I mean, yeah, we have Redding, which is obviously more suburban, but that's just a small geographic component of Shasta County. Granted, a lot of people live there, but still, a lot of the surrounding counties are championing us doing the things we're doing. I don't want to go too far off the topic of Charlie Kirk, but even like the charter, because there was the press release and everything else, a few different counties, I think it was Tuolumne, Tulare, Madera, there's a couple others I think too, asked for the exact language that we used for the charter. And they're interested because of Prop 50, and they're really seeing now what I saw a long, long time ago, is that we need to be a charter, and we need to be able to do as much as we can to protect ourselves from, Sacramento or Washington, D.C. rule. So anything, home rule that we can do, we need to do that. And so it's been interesting watching, that this past week, and then how people are kind of scurrying now. And Charlie Kirk really, really was constantly about just reaching out to people. And granted, that's why I say evangelist when I said it earlier. I mean, everything he did was rooted in that. He recently went to Japan, where, less than 1% of the Japanese population are Protestant or Christian. But it didn't matter. Like, he still went there, still found an opportunity in a political speech to preach the gospel. And, and again, I would just tell you, if you're not, if you have a faith, and let's say it's not Christian, it's Muslim, whatever. I mean, I would encourage everybody to just continue to look into, what's next, because all this garbage about, and I don't want to say garbage, but we talk about, paving roads, or we talk about, medical care, jail space, whatever, like all that stuff is uber important, super, super. I mean, it almost feels urgent, but if we're not really, really clear on what happens on the other side, because many of us drive cars, which that's a great, great opportunity to have somebody having a really bad day, looking down at their phone, spilling coffee in their lap. Next thing they know, they're going the wrong way on I-5 or 299, and you're gone. And then what happens after that? And I think that's really, really resonated with me, is just making sure that I do use my platform And again, I kind of wince when I say that, because any politician has a platform, but realistically, any politician, by saying, when you talk about platform, I just kind of chuckle, because we all do. And the reality is, there could be someone listening right now who works in a cubicle, who really is, you know, struggling. Maybe they're married, maybe they're divorced, maybe they feel like their network is very small, but what they don't know, or what you don't know, is the one person that you reach out to, making sure that they're okay, making sure that, you know, their life is moving in a positive direction, or just checking in on them. You don't know what they're going through, and you don't know that maybe you didn't just save their life because they were really thinking about ending it because they just felt hopeless. So, when we talk about platforms, yeah, there may be a lot of people listening today or will listen and re-download this later, but I always want to empower the person that feels like they're just one person, because just one person can make a huge, huge difference, and that's exactly Charlie Kirk. So what I want to do is, after the break, I've got a couple more minutes here before the break, but I have a few things that I want to talk about as well. I want to talk a little bit about RCRC and what happened this past week. We had the CEO of PG&E come in, and I had quite the interaction publicly with her. I do applaud her for actually coming and speaking in front of RCRC, because that isn't the most friendly room to a point. But even then, you know, some people really, I feel, you know, they chose their words very carefully, which I think is very, very important. We want to be polite. We want to be open. You want to have dialogue. But at the same time, sometimes you just have to speak. You have to be unapologetic or unafraid to speak truth to power. And so I want to talk a little bit about that, talk a little bit about Prop 50. And again, I it's a big no on Prop 50, but I hate whether they're Republican or Democrat trying to redistrict and gerrymander. It just undermines everything we're trying to do. And when I say we, I would say anybody who's really fighting for the Republic and making it where everybody, you know, one person, one vote, voice, one vote, et cetera. And as we talk about voting, I'd be curious to know if anybody went to the ROV open house yesterday. So maybe after the break, you can call in if you did go to the ROV open house. I'd love to hear your input about that as well. The open house yesterday, I think, was from 10 to 2. I went right around, I want to say it was around 11 o'clock. Then I went to the Wings of Angels event for a brief time. I also ran to the gym and got a lift in. And then I went back because I was just curious, because the ROV, Clint Curtis, was doing tours, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him much, and didn't get a chance to talk to him much even the second time that I went. But I wanted just to pop back over and see, you know, the different crowd who was there. Some people were still there who had been there, you know, over an hour. But, I mean, it was – and I don't know if he's going to do that again before this next election, but I would encourage you to try and go over there and just check out the layout. I mean, it is way, way, way different when you talk about observation. Now, again, we have to see it in action during an election, but I'm highly, highly encouraged that what we're going to see is a very transparent, very open election where people are going to be able to have meaningful observation, as election code states. And I think it's going to be, a big shift in what we're seeing here in the county. And hopefully, this becomes the gold standard for other counties or states in terms of how to engage, the voter and how to engage citizens in that process. So if you went, I would love to hear about, you know, your thoughts. And then, lastly, this Tuesday is the medical town hall that I'm having. It is a private event, and I've been asked, like, Kevin, why is it a private event? Well, there's a few reasons. One is, if it's a private event, then I can restrict media and things of that nature, because what I want to hear is I want to hear from people, and I want them to tell their medical stories if they are open to doing that in a public setting. And I've had a couple people that have some really crazy stories that they said they want to share them. They don't mind sharing them in a small group or in a group, but they just don't want it to be filmed or anything like that. So because it's a private event, I can say, hey, we're not going to have phones out. That doesn't mean, I know that there's been a member of the media that registered, and You know, and I've just made it very, very clear. You can't have a cell phone. You could write down, take all the notes you want, but and then also there's some insurance reasons as well. So again, if you want to attend that, go online, fill it out. If we go over the max number, there'll be a lottery. You'll get an email on Monday. You'll get an email tomorrow about the event with your ticket to get in, because it's limited to, I think it was 50 people, maybe it was 75, and I think we're pretty close, but I would encourage people to go on and register, because of course, ultimately people oftentimes won't show up or they register, etc. All right, so we're take a quick break. After the break, again, I'd like to hear your stories about Charlie Kirk, how it's impacted you, or anything with the ROV and the open house. That is 530-605-4567. With that, we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
It's that time again for the Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Redding Rodeo Grounds, with free admission for all ages. It's the return of beautiful dancers, the feel of powerful drummers, all from across the nation. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Redding Rodeo Grounds. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter Family, Redding Rancheria, Wind River Resort and Casino. This station and other proud sponsors.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
All right, we are back. And there's no intro music coming in because the phones are just like blowing up. So I want to keep these calls pretty quick. I think our first caller is on. Arthur, are you there? Arthur, are you there?
Me on.
Oh, hey, Arthur. Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Doing good.
What do you got?
Well, Charlie Kirk's legacy is going to continue on. We have amazing kids stepping up in our county. But he'll started a chapter of Turning Point. Anderson has started a chapter. Central Valley has started a chapter. And several kids at all the high schools are wanting to start chapters and getting those rolling. We have a chapter at Shasta College, and we have a chapter at Simpson College, with Evan Jones as the chapter president of those. And these are all young men and women, ages like 14 to under 20, that are stepping up in a big way in faith and courage. And so I'm really proud of what's happening, and I see us as adults to encourage them, to support them. So we're going to have a big event for these Turning Point chapters where they're going to introduce Turning Point to our community November 1st. I sent you some information on that. There's a website people can go to find out more and to register for the event if they want to do that.
Okay, and just so people know, this is Arthur Gorman, who is on the Shasta County Office of Education Board, or the SCOE Board. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I am on the Board of Education. Of course, you know, I don't speak for everybody, but...
No, yeah, absolutely.
We're very upset about what happened to Charlie Kirk, and we put forth a resolution to, you know, honor Charlie Kirk. And we just want to come around all these young men and women. And so that November 1st, it'll be at 6 p.m. You can find out more information on turningpointshasta.com.
Great. Yeah, that's turningpointshasta.com. And, again, if any of the listeners want to get involved, I would encourage you to get a hold of Arthur. Or, of course, you can reach out to me, and then I'll put you in touch with Arthur and then his team and all the volunteers as well. I'm really thankful. I know Jackie La Barbera, who serves in Anderson as well as the SCOE board, was a big help to me and my daughter out at Foothill in terms of her and that group getting a chapter going out there. So, Arthur, hey, thank you so much for your work. Are you on today?
Yeah, I'm working today. So, but if anybody needs any help with that, I know the field reps, Joseph Archer and Lennon down in Sacramento. So we can help you get your chapter started. Either it's a home group, homeschool group, a youth group, or a high school group, or a college group. We got you covered.
I think that's great. Hey, Arthur, thank you so much, and I hope nobody I see or care about sees you today as a nurse there in the ER or the hospital. I hope it's dead today. I hope there's nothing going on at work for you today. So.
Yeah, I'm praying for everybody to have a safe day and healing and recovery.
Thank you, sir. Hey, have a great rest of your day. All right, we're going to take our next caller. Nick, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, believe it or not, I ran into a couple of people between 30 and 40 years old that didn't have any idea who Charlie Kirk was. And their single parents work to the bone. They don't have time to pay attention. I explained to them that, in my opinion, Charlie Kirk's assassination was more impactful than a U.S. senator and just under a president, that he was the conduit between conservative values to the younger generation that are being taught different values. That's all I wanted to share with you. Thank you.
All right, Nick. Hey, thanks a lot. And that actually goes to, I had a listener text me. They said that they're not going to call him, but they'd ask if I'd share it. And so I'm going to share it. His name's Jared. And he sent me, and this goes right along with what Nick just said, but he sent me Isaiah 5:20, and it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So what we're seeing, and we've seen this for quite some time, I mean, this isn't new. I remember my grandmother telling me about for many of you that are my age in their 40s or 30s, 40s or 50s, and you can remember, and maybe won't admit it, but, you know, listening to Two Live Crew or some of those bands, and then I can remember talking to my grandmother and her saying when Elvis started dancing, like how bad that was. And so you just kind of has, it's not new to see society just become more and more, I don't want to say degenerate, but, where the pendulum has swung so far to the young people. I mean, you have very, very, you know, broken individuals raising kids who are raising kids. And Nick's exactly right. Like what Charlie Kirk, who he was and what he did. And I believe Turning Point will continue to do this, but it will talk about bringing. And again, you know, I'm going to really try when we talk about conservative versus liberal. I'm going to say conservative, not in the Republican way, but, you know, Turning Point, especially Charlie Kirk, he was bringing, you know, family values, values bigger than yourself, a conviction to, you know, to do the right thing and to be a person of unshakable character and faith. So, you know, I don't want to say he's bringing just conservative values to, you know, the youth of America, which he was, obviously. Very conservative, very Republican, but I don't want the rhetoric to be lost in this is just a Republican against the Democrats kind of thing. And again, if you want to call in, I know a bunch of you called in at one time, but that number is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. And, I really want to, also encourage people, if you know, and I know Arthur mentioned, if you're a homeschool or a youth group, it doesn't have to be just a traditional public school, K-12, et cetera. I mean, you had Simpson, you had Shasta College, and I believe, I'm almost 99% sure, Simpson already had a chapter up and going and had a pretty good following already prior to all of this happening. But I believe, and I've heard numbers of 8,000 or 18,000, I don't know, had an 8 in it. But I believe there's a ton of requests for new chapters across the country, so I think that's positive. All right, I'm going to jump into RCRC this past week. And this is one of the things that any elected official will tell you, that when you become, you know, whether it's city council of Anderson, Shasta Lake, or Redding, or, and that goes to any municipality or jurisdiction in any of the cities across the state, or the country for that matter, or the county, when you get elected, there's a multitude of boards or commissions or panels, so to speak, that you sit on. Some are Brown Act, some are not. But and what I mean by Brown Act is some of them have very, very strict, you know, rules or protocol you have to follow. But, you know, give you an example, there's like the LAFCO, which is all around land and working in different projects across various jurisdictions. There's CERTA, which is the Shasta Regional Transportation Agency. So City of Redding, Anderson, Shasta Lake all have members on that. The Board of Supervisors have members on that. So you sit on a bunch of these things. And one of them, RCRC, one person sits on that. And the last 2 years, I sat on that. Les Baugh, I believe, sat on RCRC for well over 10 years, if not. I mean, he was in office 16 years. I know Trish Clark, prior in District 5, prior to Les, was involved with RCRC a really long time. So this goes back where RCRC has been around a long time, and the county's been involved in that. And we had our a legislative meeting this past week where, you know, there's 40 counties in California that identify as rural or that are part of the RCRC. And on Friday, we have a board meeting, and it started at 8 a.m., and it lasted until about noon. And we have a caller. So, Terry, I'll go ahead and take the caller now before I jump into the RCRC. Terry, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I couldn't hear what was going on your program when you had me on hold. But I want to say that I think that you, when you talked about Charlie Kirk this morning, that, to me, is the best I've heard from any politician / statesman anywhere. Great job, Kevin. What you did is you talked about Charlie, you incorporated that into salvation, you incorporated that into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you incorporated that into what's going on in politics. Best job of anybody, buddy. That was a great, great job you did. So, anyway, I think a lot of people out there appreciate that.
That means a lot, Terry. It does. It means a lot. Thank you.
Well, and one other quick thing. I just got off the phone with Steve Stern. There's some issues, and Marley Hornick, who's no longer with United Sovereign Americans. And if Prop 50 passes here in California and in New York, the two of those particular states will control and have Democrat control over the House of Representatives of the United States. So a lot of the other stuff we're talking about, we need to understand, we need to protect that aspect. Again, if Prop 50 passes here in California, and if what happens in New York is happening in New York, there'll be 75 Democrat representatives from those two states.
Yeah.
And that could be a real issue. We have Doug LaMalfa coming on next hour. Doug LaMalfa will be calling into our program. Anyway, my friend, great, great rendition. Way to do it. Way to put it out there. You're not a rookie anymore, buddy. You're not a rookie anymore.
Thanks, Terry. I appreciate that. Yeah, and if people, when you're done listening to my show, I know many of you will listen to the Sunday lineup, but what Terry's talking about, and if he's having Congressman LaMalfa on, I would encourage the listeners to remain on and listen to that. So going back to the RCRC, we had, and Terry, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm going to get off now.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Appreciate you. All right, so the RCRC meeting we had, We had, you know, different legislative things that we talk about. Like I said, the PG&E person came on. I'm actually not going to talk a lot about that today. I think I'll do it tomorrow on my Facebook show tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Talk about maybe I can even see if I can pull the footage because they stream them and they record them of how that went. But I'll focus today on the Prop 50 since we're talking about that the next hour, it sounds like, with Jefferson State of Mind, with Terry, Lynn, Wynn, and Janet. So we all went around the room and discussed as a group, like, because RCRC is deciding, are they going to put out a formal, like, we're going to go against it, we're going to be for it, et cetera. Like CSAC, which is the California State Association of Counties, that's another type of RCRC, but it's for everybody. Everybody's in CSAC, whether you're urban, suburban, or rural. And we used to be suburban in CSAC. I returned us. Well, me and Supervisor Jones and Supervisor Kellstrom, we voted 3-2 to return us to rural. So we're designated as a rural county. We caucus with the other rural counties in CSAC, and we're an RCRC as well. But CSAC has taken a no position. They're not going to take a position on it because, obviously, you know, there's a lot of very blue. Well, in terms of counties being blue versus red, obviously this is a very blue state because of the number of people in some of our bigger counties like L.A., but they're taking a no position, and I expect no less out of CSAC. CSAC isn't for Shasta County or rural counties, and I get it because they kowtow a lot to the big blue counties, and that's just how that political game is played. And I'm not saying they don't, as individuals, care about Shasta County, but it's just not, you know, this is the stuff we could talk about ad nauseum about the political games that get played. But so here, back to RCRC, we all are talking, and then we had a supervisor from Nevada County talk about how in favor she was of support, like RCRC should support Prop 50. But she said that knowing that there was going to probably be some pushback, I am assuming. But she said, hey, in Nevada County, we're going to have three congressmen or congresspeople because the way they're gerrymandering up the map. And I heard that, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so I was actually the next speaker because it was a big U-shape, or I guess you'd say a square to some degree, but the top part of the square, there were people that weren't going to be speaking. So my card was up. So it came around to me to speak after she gave the reason why. She talked a lot about the Trump administration and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I said, madam, I said, with all due respect, that is, like, completely garbage. And I let it go. And I said, if RCRC doesn't take a hard stand, a hard no stand, why do we even exist as an organization? It's in our title, Rural Counties, or Rural County Representatives of California. Rural. It's the very first word. And MODOC and Lassen County, who spoke prior to the Nevada County supervisor, talked about, you know, because if Prop 50 passes, our federal congressional representative is going to be like in Marin County, which is like right past the Golden Gate Bridge, like north of the Golden Gate Bridge, all the way up to MODOC. Now, Shasta has very little in common with Marin, but at least there's Redding, right? And there's some suburban, quote-unquote, urban-ish feel to it, possibly. But MODOC and Lassen, you got to be kidding me. That is horrific. So I went pretty hard at that, and I made it very, very well known how I feel, and I'm speaking on behalf of Shasta County. And this isn't about just LaMalfa or Republican. This, to me, is about, like, hey, like, our issues in rural America are so different than those. I mean, we're still talking about electric buses to Bernie on CERTA, one of those organizations I talked to about earlier, the Shasta Regional Transportation Agency, because there's so many things about green energy and, different environmental credits. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. We're not taking a electric bus to Bernie. It's not going to happen. And it's ridiculous that we're even talking about it. I mean, even people talk about here locally, all the bike lanes that are in Redding now, like they're just cutting stuff down and putting it in these bike lanes. I mean, I have yet to see a person in a bike lane when I'm driving down downtown Redding. And I'm like, this is ridiculous having all these. And the reason why is the state says, hey, we'll give you money for the roads, or there's a grant available for the roads, but you got to put a bike lane in. And it's just all about 15-minute cities and making, you know, these rural communities more like their urban or suburban counterparts, and it's super bad. And so, you know, on Friday, Patrick Blacklock, who's the president of RCRC, and then Miles, and I think he's at, man, shoot, is he, I don't know if he's, I don't know what county, is he Merced or Madera? I don't know. Miles, one of, you know, when I say one of my favorite supervisors, him and Dennis Townsend of Tulare, I always say like they'd make the best professional wrestling tag team because Miles has got this long ponytail. He's about 6'5", I'm guessing about 280. Dennis, you know, looks like, you know, an older Steve Austin. He's probably 6'3", and I always just say that you guys should be a tag team wrestling duo and just go on the road. But anyway, I digress. Miles and Patrick, when I went out at a break, and actually it wasn't even a break. We were still speaking. I had to get up and kind of walk a little bit because I was just so fired up by hearing some of the different people wanting to like placate to the governor. And we got to be careful because if we come out really strong against the governor or against Prop 50 and it passes, then that's going to be a big political ding on RCRC. And so, you know, Patrick and Miles just said, hey, you know, you were pretty rough on, I think it was Sheila. From Nevada County. And I said, yeah, I said, I was actually already going to apologize to her, not because of what I said, but, you know, because the very first thing I said, with all due respect, madam, I said, that is garbage. And I probably could have been a little bit more tactful in that instance. But, I mean, I wear my heart on my sleeve. And again, that, those are the instances where I'm trying to do better. And I talked to her and I apologized to her. And she was very, like, no problem. I accept your apology. She just said, I really feel strongly that what's happening in Texas. And I cut her off and I said, look it. I said, it's not about Texas. I said, this is about California. And it's not even about California. I said, it's about rural counties. And I said, if Prop 50 passes, it is the death of rural counties. And I said, we are here solely to look out for rural counties and rural communities. And she just kind of sat and looked, and it was kind of like, I could tell there was like this puzzling look, like, I don't think that was getting through. But Miles and Patrick both really appreciated the fact that I was already ahead of that and was going to say something to her because, and I just told her, I said, I don't think you're garbage. I said, I think those views, though, are that way. And when everybody is so careful to guard their words or they're so quote unquote politically careful and they just tiptoe, and it's like I don't think we can tiptoe around this. And I think that would be one of the and for anybody that's been involved in RCRC or that knows about it, and again, that's going to be like, you know, a third of a percent of the listeners that are really involved with RCRC or really know about that organization. I mean, if organizations like that are supposed to stand up for rural communities can't do it in this instance, I mean, I would move to the board and just say, like, why are we paying these associations and fees if they're not going to, you know, lead with conviction? And I told Miles and Patrick both, I said, look, guys, I said, I am going to die on my feet far, far before I live on my knees. And I said, I've watched this now for 2.5 years, us always choose our words carefully because of how the governor, how the state legislature is going to look at it. And at the end of the day, I don't think many of these people care about our county, and they just pacify us by listening to us. I said, we have to start being bold, and we have to start being outspoken about it, more so, I think, now than ever, because we're not going to get this chance back. Oh, we have another caller. Lori, are you there?
Yep. Hey, good morning, Kevin. Yeah, I was just on topic here with who's behind Measure A, what you're talking about right now, the Reading sales tax hike. Shasta Anon, Anonymous, investigates, just released yesterday on YouTube a whole report, 16 minutes, 57 seconds, so people can go look that up on YouTube. Shasta Anon investigates, and you are so wise to speak up. I don't care if you have to put your heart on your sleeve. That's okay. It's
well,
called the truth.
Well, I appreciate that.
In closing, if people want to watch Charlie service, they can go to fightforcharlie.com. It's a live Rumble account on his actual website. So if people aren't going to drive to the Bible College or can't find it on whatever, that's an option. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call, Kevin. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Lori. Have a great day. All right. We have another caller. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, you're so many things on your show this morning to talk to. Number one, though, on the top of my mind is the spiritual change that's going on in the universe and why the young people are stepping up, and Charlie Kirk was a very big part of that. There is a huge, huge spiritual movement in the time that we're living in, and people are experiencing it, and that's what's going on. There will be much, much more spirituality, Christianity, whatever you want to call it, stepping forward, but there's a whole lot more truth to what that is, to what they've been telling us for the last thousands of years. There's so much more to be revealed. Anyway, the biggest problem I have is right now, last week, Nick had on a show this couple from down there that had their 75-year-old property pretty much, you know, they were kicked off by the BLM.
Yo, hey, Steve, like I want to try and stick to the topics we're on right now. So if we could,
well,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, but that's kind of what's going on also, you know. I mean, these people being kicked off their property for 75 years, they've been on their property. I mean, they need a lot of support. And you being the council, head council and everything, we got to help these people out.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling, Steve. I really appreciate it. And one of the things that, you know, and I know this is what Steve is alluding to, is last week, and it was a good show. You know, we have as elected officials, and this isn't proprietary to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors or, you know, this is every jurisdiction. We have, you know, not just tens or hundreds, but thousands of people in the time we'll be in office that need help. And it is so important that we remain a voice for the people, and we try and fight as much as we can for the people. But, you know, what I think is really, really important, as you always look to select elected officials, again, get to know them, really understand, like, you know, what they fought for, who they fight for. Because I'll tell you, like, there are people that, I mean, I think some of the most gratifying things that I've done in office have been for people that flat out are not, I guess you'd say, quote unquote, politically aligned with me. And it was an opportunity for me to not just show them that from some place of not pride or whatever, but it's like this is what it needs to be. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And I'm going to go back to when that gentleman earlier sent the message about Isaiah 5:20. I mean, so many things get confused now of what's good, what's evil, you know, and how those just, for whatever reason, just get really convoluted and have been convoluted. And I'll say that I've even received some emails and messages from some very vocal detractors. I'm sure some of them are listening now. And they've committed to tone down the personal attacks to me in the board chamber. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see this week if that comes. I've heard that before. I mean, the phone always rings both ways, or emails. Like, I'm a very, very, one of the things I set out to do when I was running was I wanted to be the most accessible supervisor. I mean, I gave out my personal cell phone on national television, and I just got, I got so many, even the producers are like, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, well, what does it matter? I go, in the information age, anybody should be able to get a hold of anybody. I just want to make it easier, because what's important to me is that people know, like, hey, I don't have to agree with you, but I can stand up when there's wrongs, and I will do that. And, you know, one of the things that I say often as a coach, and I really get my teams to focus on, I say, hey, you know, we have to control the controllables. You have to control what are things we can control? We can control our effort. We can control how we talk to one another. We can control, you know, our emotions. If a call goes against us or something happens, like, we can control that stuff. We can't control necessarily the other team, you know, hitting a deep three, to win or send it into over. We can't control some of that stuff, but we can control our effort and how we close out a lot of that stuff. And so in politics, like, I'm really just trying to control what I can control. And what that means is there's a lot of things with our jurisdiction that we can do. We can impact and affect. And the more people that are rowing in that direction with me, we're going to be able to get a lot of stuff done. We've already gotten a ton done, and we've got at least another year and a half on this term for me, and we're going to keep pushing. And I'm just thankful for all of you who have spent this this hour with me and that have called in. And, you know, in closing, I would say take time for family. Make sure you're consistently making sure people that are in your life, you tell them how special they are to you, how much you love them, because, you know, we're not promised tomorrow, and get that opportunity. So I appreciate all of you, and see you back here in a couple weeks. Take care.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.